Amen. And today, so we're going to start with the three are holy, but the end of the message, towards the end of the message, we will begin our ascent and understanding the tithe in a way that you probably never heard before. I know for a fact it's so much that I've never seen before and heard before. And so we're going to break down the tithe, we're going to break down the first fruit, and we're going to break down what we're calling substance giving, which is also this exact same as free will giving. So we're going to break down all three separately. And but today we're going to just point out the three are holy. All right, so we are still in the midst of learning about the Lord's peace. We have come a very long way. In fact, we have dug so deep that we are definitely hitting the root. We've learned extensively about how the love of money is the root of all evil. We've learned that extensively. We have also discovered that it is our constant connect to the world and our disconnect from God. Talking about money, it's our constant connection to the world, and it is our definite disconnection from God. It's been a blocker from us ascending into the perfect peace that God has been teaching us about for the last 7 months or so. But no longer will it be. We are learning truly, truly honor to honor the Lord with our substance. We're learning to truly honor Him with our substance. Hence, the axe, because of that, is laid at the root. And we are in transition, people of God. You got to understand that we're in transition. We are being disconnected from the root. It reminds me of this, how the Bible says that Satan wrestled over the body of Moses. And what that translated in that particular scripture, I believe it's in the book of Jude, where Satan was wrestling over the body of Moses. It was a parallel that Satan was wrestling over the children of Israel, that he felt as though he had them in possession. He felt as though it was also Moses. He had Moses physically when Moses did not enter in, and when he was in the mount right before he died. The Bible says that clearly that God buried him there, but Satan wrestled over his body, thinking that because Moses smote the rock and didn't speak to it, he tried to gain substance another way, if you look at that, other than what God said. And so Satan thought he had rights to him. And it reminds me of that. This is the type of fight I feel on us, that he's wrestling over us, that he doesn't want to let us go. He doesn't want to, because he felt as though he was hiding greatly in the recess of how we dealt with substance and how we were connected to it in such hidden places. But now that God is opening our eyes, I feel it within my own being, such a wrestle going on that he does not want to let go and quietly move away. He's trying to keep his hooks in us, if you will. If you can hear me, just say amen.
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 And he's trying to keep alive what we've always relied on. He's trying to keep our minds in an old position concerning finance, because that was his greatest recess place, truly. And so if you feel a fight within you, God bless you. That means you're in right position. If you're just going on as normal, I'm going to keep praying that God will open your eyes, because you should feel a wrestle in this thing. You should feel a fight to where Satan is trying to keep you established in a hidden place where you are connected to the root of evil. And so now today we break it down. It all started with us. It started with me in giving a tenth when I was first born again. It started at the tenth. The number 10 means God with man, which we very well know. The tenth, according to Malachi, would open us up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we would run out of room to receive. I truly believe the tenth begins the covenant of God with man. The 10th begins to open our eyes, and you're going to see that today, to him being our source. When the 10th is redeemed by the Lord, the journey begins to triune giving. And this is a long stretch for me, because I've been giving a 10th now for, oh boy, upwards near 30 years. And it's been a long stretch into coming into where God wants me to be and how he wants me disconnected from any hold that this world might have. But it all began with the 10th. But the 10th doesn't do it alone, which we understand. We're learning that more and more. To refer to Malachi once again, he said, we have robbed God, not just in tithes, but he said tithes and offerings. And I've come to realize and come to the total realization, those offerings are the first fruit and substance and or free will offerings. That he's not just robbed in the 10th, he's been robbed in those two as well. The reason it's a free will offering, and I thought about you, Elder Donna, when he gave this rhema here. I realized that we always consider a free will offering in the New Testament that we can give of our free will. The devil is a liar. That's not what that means. The Lord spoke to me the other day. It was so profound. It's something very simple, but it was really profound. He said it's called a free will offering because your will is free. You've connected to me and your will is gone. You're free from your own will. And that's what makes it a free will offering. That you're no longer connected to how you would or what you want to do. That's why the Bible says in the same particular chapter in Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver, which means prompt to do anything for him. And so now a free will offering is what we would call, or what we've been calling substance offerings. All right? So now, the reason, again, that it's free will is because you're free from your will. Your will is free. And now you can hear God because you're not stuck on substance. Somebody say amen if you're still hearing me.
Amen.
All right. So at this point, we're no longer attached to this world. When we reach this place, which is going to be the last one we teach on, is the free will offering and the power that comes behind it. But when we reach this point, we're no longer attached to the world. Satan controls. We're not in his control or by being controlled by finance either. Again, that's why it means you're cheerful. You're in a position that you're prompt to do anything. Why? Because the axe was laid at the root. When you finally hit that place of triune giving, the tithe, the first fruit, and the free will offering, or the substance offering, the lump, when you start giving from those three dimensions, you're absolutely free.
That's
so now, God. The three should be in the house. According to Nehemiah's writing, and I know a lot of you might say, well, this is under the law, but it doesn't change the truth of the word. Nehemiah 10:37 says, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. Nehemiah 12:44 goes on to say, and at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasuries. Watch this now. The three are still in the house for the offering, for the first fruits, and for the tithes. These three belong in the house to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priest. Now, what did the law do with these three? The law divided where these three should go, but the law did not constitute, neither did it establish the giving of these three. These were established prior to the law, but
amen.
What the law did was point where they should be directed to. So it's for the priests, the Levites, for Judah rejoiced for the priest and for the Levites that waited, it says. So the law did not establish these three. The law determined where these three would end up. Just keep that in mind. In learning about triune giving, we need to understand that it's all coming from substance. Now, it all comes from what the Lord blesses us with. All right? When you get a check for the week, let's say you made $1,000 for the week, that's substance right there. So what is broken from the substance is you give a first fruit, a tenth, and whatever else the Lord requires. But understand something. It already belonged to the Lord. That's what I think is truly amazing. This is the revelation that really is waking me up. that the first fruit, excuse me, that the tithe, the first fruit, and the substance or free will giving, it already belonged to him. I mean, one simple way that could prove it to you is one scripture. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You're not giving something to God that didn't already belong to him.
Amen.
Psalms 21 and 13 says this, and I thought about you again, Elder Donna, that you'll like this particular scripture. For some reason you kept coming to me. In Psalms 21, 13, it says, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. When I saw that, I started to bug out. So will we sing and praise thy power. All right. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. I'm like, what in the world? I said, you kidding me? Do you remember the definition of substance? It means wealth, ability, or strength. So now it shows in Psalms 21:13 that we exalt the Lord when we are in triune giving, giving of our substance.
God.
We exalt the Lord by, and we exalt him where? In his own strength. In other words, it's already his. So when God sees you honor to him with what's already belonging to him, we will then sing and praise his power. Why? Because there'll be a release of God's commonwealth in our life. There'll be a release of the kingdom of God in our life. And we will sing and praise his power. When? When we exalt him in his own strength.
Hallelujah, God.
When we lift him up in his own strength, when we honor the Lord with our substance, we exalt the Lord. And it's amazing that the writer would have the understanding to say he's exalted, but it's already in his own strength. So when God, now I understand why God had respect unto Abel and his offering. I understand it. Why? Because Abel was exalting the Lord in his own strength. God was being alive. The Bible says he lives in the praises of his people. When God is exalted in his strength, we will sing the praise. We will sing and we will praise his power. I guarantee you we will sing and praise his power. But Satan is so on us because of this.
Yes, he is.
We will see God disconnect us from the commonwealth of Babylon and this world and the spirit of this world. We will sing unto the praise of his power when we exalt the Lord in his own strength, when we honor with our substance. So when God gets exalted with his substance, we will sing and praise his power.
Bless God.
His power will be manifested, people of God. True worship and giving should be noted as, listen, put this in the back of your mind for the rest of your days. True worship and giving should be noted as exalting God in his own strength.
Amen.
That when you're giving your tithe, you're giving your first fruit, and you're giving your free will offering, as you're giving of your substance, understand that you're exalting God in his own strength, and then authentically let it be added to you, as Elder was so, she was putting it together real well this morning when she talked about authentic faith being poured out. Put this in the place of authenticity. Get ready to see his power.
Bless God.
Put that in the archives of your authentic faith, that when you're triune and you're giving to God the way that he desires to be worshiped, you're about to see his power.
Oh,
you'll never be out. You'll never be out. I'm trying to tell you, he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You will see the hand of God in your circumstances, in your body, in your life, whatever. You will sing and praise his power because you're exalting him.
Amen.
Bless God.
Jesus, my Lord. See, when you give,
thank you, Jesus,
the three, you give the three because they're noted as holy, right? But when you give the three, that becomes true exaltation. See, we say a lot of things that Jesus said, your lips, they're with me, but your heart is far from me. Why? Because your heart is still connected to the love of money for the most part, the regard for money. But with your lips, you tell me what you think I am. Well, I understand this, that when I give the substance unto the Lord, when I give his substance by way of tithe, first fruit, and free will, when I give him and I honor him, right, and I honor him with that, I understand that now my praise, my lips match my heart, because I've disconnected myself from this world's source. Mm-hmm. And now I'm really exalting the Lord in his own strength. And the three are holy. This is why he wants them, everybody. The three are holy. I'm just going to show you here in Leviticus 27 and 30, which we're going to come back to this particular scripture a little bit later. But at Leviticus 27, 30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land," I love that, "or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." First of all, we note, my gosh, it is his. You never were owner of it. That Bible says his name is holy. His name is holy. His name is on it. And so if his name is holy, then he's the owner of what's holy, because he is holy. It's him. And all the tithe of that, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, the word three we know means divine wholeness or completeness and perfection. So we see the other two here in Romans 11, 16. "For if the first fruit be holy," my goodness, there it is. That's the second one. "The lump," that substance or free will, "is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." So God is only redeeming what already belongs to him, because it's holy, and I have an understanding to why. If you look at just the word holy, it means pure from carnality in the Greek, chaste or modest. I like the definition pure from carnality. Now watch this. Holy in the Hebrew means regard or honored. It means apartness. Look at this now. Apartness. It means sacredness or separateness. Or it means to keep oneself apart or separate. So now if he's looking for these three, he's building what we've already learned, an umbilical cord, a three-folded cord that is not easily broken. What God is bringing and what God is really putting around you is a hedge of holiness. You're sowing into becoming pure from carnality. You're sowing into being separated. These three are holy unto the Lord. And the Bible says we reap what we sow. We're sowing into separation, and we're sowing into being pure from carnality. In essence, we truly enter into the commonwealth of heaven. We're being disconnected while we honor with these three.
Hallelujah, God.
We're coming out of carnality, praise God. It's coming up off of us.
Amen.
There's a disconnect going on. I don't know if you can feel it, but I certainly can. Even when I fail, I still feel what God is doing.
Amen.
Even when I'm not 100% on it, I can still feel what God is doing on the inside of me. He's not stopping until it's finished. And I praise his holy name for that. But my God, how Satan wants to masquerade that, how he wants to send a smokescreen telling you something completely different. Well, he's a liar. Keep on trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
Don't lean to your own understanding. Keep on worshiping God. Keep on giving. Don't stop. There's a disconnect on the way. We're coming into the true commonwealth of heaven. We're being uprooted from carnality when we give these three that are holy unto the Lord. We aren't bound to the spirit of the world. We may be in it. You may feel it for a moment, but I'm telling you right now, you're not of it. We have a different origin, and that origin is Christ and his kingdom. Hallelujah. So he wants these three because they're holy. They're holy. And he's saying, I want you to sow these three into the place of holiness in me. When these three are given, I'll build a three-folded cord of holiness around you that will not be easily broken. when I have these three, and I understand, I truly get it, I really and truthfully do. I understand what God is doing here. Hallelujah. The tithe is the first to strike at the root. And this is where we start talking to you about the tithe for a minute. The tithe, the word tithe means a tenth part. Tenth or ten means God with man, which we all know. We look at again, it says, in all the tithe of the land, Leviticus 27:30, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, in all of my years of teaching biblical finance, it never stuck out to me where it says, is the Lord's. The word is actually italicized. I like to take that out for a second and read it to you again. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, the Lord's. For some reason, when I take out is being italicized, it sounds so much stronger. It's emphasizing the Lord's. It never belonged to us. It never was. So you can kind of see where you stay connected here. Well, like Satan, the substance on Satan never was his, but yet he took it and used it to try to build his own. But it says the Lord's. And then it says it is, which is italicized. We can just take that out too. It says the Lord's, holy unto the Lord. Unto, you see the word unto? That means supposed to be given. It's back to him. I've never noticed that before, that it literally just says it. It's like, duh, it's right there. The Lord's. So whenever somebody like Jacob would stumble across the revelation of giving a tenth, it was just that's all it is a revelation, because it always belonged to the Lord. It's a rhema that starts our transition in getting it back to him. It was always his. I was talking to Elder Donna and Elder Allison last week, and I said, look at this picture, and I think I mentioned it on Thursday. Look at this picture, if you can, it can just kind of see this here. Think about all of the fruit trees. Think about all of the livestock. Think about all of the money. Think about everything that deals with substance in the world, right? Everything. If the earth would just give over unto the Lord, if he could just cause it to elevate, you don't understand the type of peace that the earth would be under. You have no idea if the Lord was able to redeem this. You have no idea. This would disconnect man completely from Satan's grasp and hold. Now, Jesus Christ has come, and the blood of Jesus was shed. Why? Because there's a revelation we got. Jesus died so we could hear. The blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus Christ, was to open the ears of man so that we might hear God. And in hearing God, it would disconnect us from everything that Satan. Jesus did come to destroy the works of the devil. But he's doing that by opening our ears to hear his word.
Thank you, Lord.
So the blood of Jesus is very much at work here. The fact that you're hearing this word is the fact that Jesus died to open your ears. The first commandment we learned a long time ago was hear. Oh, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That was the first commandment that God said that they should be doing, is hearing. And us hearing this word is because of the blood of our Lord Jesus.
Bless you, God.
I've never noticed this before, and it blesses me that my ears were open, my eyes were open, both for hearing, by the way. And I saw and I heard the tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. Whatever is holy belongs to the Lord. The tenth of all the earth is the Lord's. When we honor God with what is his, we neutralize the power of earthly substance. This is the beginning right here at the tenth. Most people are more apt to give a tenth. For some reason, it always starts at the tenth. For most people. And I understand why. You're going to understand why, too. This was really powerful to me. All right. So we begin to neutralize the power of earthly substance with the tenth. We also become consecrated and holy before God. This is why the tenth means God with man. This begins the process of being disconnected at the root from evil. This is why Satan oppresses us so hard in finance. Watch this, the power of the tithe. Malachi, oh boy, that faithful scripture, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Some of you should already be popping off like popcorn right now when you see that the tithe begins to rebuke the devourer. Yep. Then he says, it will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Oh, tithe becomes a protecting force for the rest of our substance. Jesus, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. All right. Now the word rebuke, it means to chide, which we know. Or it means corrupt. Now, over the years, I never really dealt with the word corrupt. Never had any room for it because I hadn't known what I do know now. The word corrupt means having, watch this now, watch this, elders, watch this now, having or showing a willingness to act dishonestly in return for money or personal gain. He said, I will corrupt. I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? I'm saying, what are you saying? He said, in rebuking the devil, listen to this now, I reveal his corruption. I show you that the act of dishonesty. See, when you have gone up and down, and I think anybody can feel me on this, why, and don't tell me condemnation because it's not true, why do you feel off when you were a tither but are no longer are a tither? That's the Lord rebuking the corruption. Because you're moving in what's called personal gain. You're not giving. See, it's personal gain. How's it personal gain? Because what you're doing is you're taking from someone that I just showed you in scripture, the tithe is the Lord's.
Yes.
So now you start to move under personal gain. The tithe begins to reveal that we don't move under personal gain anymore. The tithe keeps us in a position of being aligned with God, that this is belongs to the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. And so now the corruption of it is revealed because of the tithe. When you give the tithe, let me just make it real easy. If you haven't given a tithe, you don't know what I'm saying. Paul said, I would have never known sin until the law came. But when the law came, sin revived. I could see things plainly because the law. I could see where I was going wrong. This is what the tithe does. It makes you understand that it's not about personal gain. It's about God being the one that brings us gain.
Hallelujah, God.
It's about God. This is, and that's Hallelujah, what the tenth God. Does. It's God with man, God with man, God with man. God begins to reveal, I'm here to prosper you.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not a question of being feeling condemnation because you're not giving the tithe. No, it's a question of this is God's rebuke. This is what Jesus, this is what the Bible says. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy. Look at that, devourer. Then he turns the name, the word devourer into he. Who's he? Satan. The origin of the source of the love of money. He's talking about getting him and causing us to awaken unto his plan so we can see the corruption. This had nothing to do with the law. It had everything to do with beginning the disconnect from the root of all evil.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We're going in. We're going all the way in here. We're going all the way in. So what the tithe does, it reveals the enemy. In rebuking the enemy, the Lord reveals the enemy. It begins to separate us mentally and spiritually from personal gain. It begins. But we never associated with the fact that it belonged to the Lord and that it was really holy unto the Lord, and that our worship now, what we're doing here in our worship is we're beginning an ascent from being connected to this world. It's the Lord said to me, he said, it's the first strike. For most Christians, it's the first strike at the root. He shall not destroy. He is referring to the destroyer, which is Satan. The tithe also, listen, the tithe now begins, and see, it's going to be activated into you by understanding what you're hearing. This is going to be activated. The tithe now begins to protect the rest of your substance. I know we honor the Lord with our substance and the first fruit of all of our increase, but we didn't learn it like that. But God had a plan even in the way that we learned it. See, all three of these move in one, the three. The tithe, the first fruit, and the substance of free will offering. They all move in one. It's all one. It's all one method of worship. So the tithe now protects the rest of our substance. Well, how do I know that? Because it says here, he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Everything else is protected under the tithe. So that the flow of honoring the Lord with our substance and the first fruit of all of our giving. So that now there's a flow that goes. It's kind of like the sower overtaking the reaper, and the treader of grapes overtaking. It's all that becomes like one. It becomes one. All right. So now the tithe is now protecting the rest of the fruit of our ground. Strong, very strong, powerful connection in worship with the tithe. And we know it. And every Christian that's ever given tithes, they know it. They understand this. There's something that comes alive in our knowing that we feel. I don't know about you. Okay, let me speak for me then. I know how safe I feel when I release the tenth. And even when it was just a tenth, I felt extremely safe getting it into the Lord's hands. There was something that went way beyond the law and religion. My hope went to a different place in God. All right? So he doesn't and can't destroy the fruit of our ground. So now the tithe reveals Satan and how corrupt he is, and how and it starts to disconnect from personal gain. All right? I'm going to go a little further here. And I'm not going to go too much further. I'm going to read Revelations 11, 13 through 15. And I'm actually going to close this down, I believe, right here. Yes, I'm going to close it down right here. Revelations 11, 13. Now watch this, all right? This is New Testament teaching. In fact, this goes all the way to the, basically the return of Christ here. And I never saw this before. In teaching finance, it says in Revelations, all right, we're talking about the power of the tithe here, all right? In Revelations 11, 13 through 15, it says, in the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. It says, in a tenth part of the city fell. We're talking about the tithe. And a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now there are three woes that were prophesied that would come. This is the second woe. All right. The second woe was past. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. But listen to what the angels say after the second woe, after the tenth part fell. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms, oh God, oh Jesus, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Ah, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, when I read that and I recognized that this was said after the second woe was passed, that the angels began to praise and say, the seventh angel sounded and said, this is what it was said, the kingdoms of this world, there were voices crying out and saying this, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Why? Because what the Lord did here was redeem the tenth. Tenth part of the city fell. That was a form of God redeeming the tenth and taking back what belonged to him. You don't understand this here. But then the rest that remained began to rejoice. Why? Because of the revelation that comes out of God redeeming and taking the tenth. It shows God as owner of this world. It shows God that he's way above the kingdoms of this world. They are his.
Jesus.
He took what belonged to him. And then it was said, then it was actualized or realized that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our. What am I saying to you? Listen, when you give the tenth, God, I told you, begins to be, open your eyes to the corruption of the way that Satan has us under this sway of personal gain. We then open our eyes and say, no, the kingdoms of this world are God's. They're our Lord's, and they are of his Christ. We begin to see the power of God in this particular way of giving. We begin to see it. He opens our eyes. And we begin to give him glory. Just like it said in that psalm, we will sing and praise his power. After God redeemed the tenth, after he took the tenth, and after the tenth of the city fell, that's when their eyes were opened. Your eyes are going to be opened when you give a tenth with an understanding that it is the Lord. Your eyes are going to be opened that God, I'm telling you, is ruler. And he reigns over the earth.
In my sight.
When he destroyed the tenth part of the city, it was him redeeming the tithe and unveiling his lordship. The tenth reveals Christ's lordship to us. That's what starts to happen. We begin to see it, my God, for what it is. You can feel that there's some type of disconnect from the world when you honor God with your tenth. You can feel it, and it's the ascending, it's the beginning of your ascension into the commonwealth of heaven. It's in the tenth that we will say. We will say the kingdoms of this world really do belong. They really do belong to him. You don't know this, child of God, but it's because of your connection in the tenth. And Elder Donna taught it so beautifully that the tenth now, the transition according to the book of Hebrews, the tenth now does not go unto Levi. The tenth now comes into Judah, which is where our Lord sprang out from. That's all that was revealing. There's a change in who's receiving it. And in him receiving it, he then reveals his lordship. He reveals that the kingdoms of this world are his. You don't understand this, child of God, but it's because of the tenth that you're still moving. It's still, you still got a roof over your head. You still got opportunities. It's the tenth that God keeps bringing you out. He keeps bringing you out. Although giving is not yet perfect, he's still moving on your behalf, revealing that no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what Satan tries to say to you, no matter what they say, I'm telling you right now, you're covered and protected. It may not be to the magnitude that you yet desire, but you're coming there. You're at the threshold. You're coming into the fullness of substance giving. This is the beginning But even in the beginning, you see it is God, your provider.
Yes, hallelujah.
Even just in the beginning, you're learning it's been God all this time. When I couldn't walk, you were carrying me. There was only one set of footprints in the sand. It was never me. It was always you. The 10th reveals that. So after the 10th part of the city fell, boy, I'd hate for God to come and have to take it from my hands. I would like to honor and worship and freely give it. But he got the 10th that belonged to him. And there came an earthquake. They were slain, 7,000. But the rest that were left over gave glory to the God of heaven. The voices shouted, "The kingdoms of this world are become what? Because he got his 10th. And he revealed it. It's time for us to begin to understand what we're doing and where we're going, what's really taking place. I'm telling you right now, triune giving, giving unto the Lord the way that he deserves. Truly giving unto the Lord the way that he deserves. The tithe, the first fruit, and the substance of freewill offering are holy unto the Lord. The perfect, my bless goodness, God. The perfect worship. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, my Lord. My God, my God, my God. Absolute perfect. The tithe is there for us now, and as we honor the Lord with the tithe, that's the first strike at the root. It's the first place of disconnect. It's where our eyes already, years ago, began to open. But God did not finish adjusting our sight with that. Referring to Malachi again, he said, "I'm being robbed." God was being robbed in the tithes and offerings. Imagine that order right there. He mentions the tithe and offerings. Because the tithe really and truthfully, it really does begin our place of ascent. Look at even at Jacob, his name change. He said, "I'm going to give you tithes of all from now on." And people of God, that was way before the law. Because Jacob's eyes, my God, were open. His eyes were open unto who the earth really belonged to. The tithe is a great mystery. But I do remember this. It was way back when God had destroyed the earth with the flood. And this is where it came from. He destroyed the earth with a flood. And in the 10th month after the destruction, on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains were seen. The tops of the mountains, life was seen back for man after destroying the entire world, except for Moses and his sons. Listen, the tops of the mountains were seen on the 10th. God was saying, "I'm back with man. I'm back with man." And so now we see why the 10th, it was God with man again after destroying man. Your worship with the 10th is God saying, "I'm with you." Is it a cure-all? No, not yet. He's building an umbilical cord, a three-folded cord that will not be quickly broken. The second one is our eyes opened unto the first fruit, and we'll talk about that next week. And you already know what the last one is. We just got not too long ago, is substance giving. Hence, triune giving. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless God.
Hallelujah. Well, that's all I have for you today. That's it. That's everything. Glory be to God. We got a few comments here. Let's see what these comments are saying here. You guys look like you guys were having church. It says here, coming from Elder Donna, powerful, powerful, bless God. Evangelist Darrell says, so powerful. Do you see that? This is proof that triune giving protects every other part of us. The tithe initiates God protecting the fruit of our ground. Wow. Hallelujah. The axe is at the root. Love for money. So good. Elder Allison says, awesome, awesome. Minister Joshua says, amen. And Elder Donna says again, beautiful, beautiful. And I agree with everything. I agree with it. I'm seeing things so clear. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I also say this, we have to keep each other lifted up because pulling this deep or touching the root, boy, oh boy, Satan doesn't like this. We've got to
Amen.
keep each other covered in
Amen.
prayer
Amen.
while we're coming through this and while we're coming under this metamorphosis. We've got to cover one another. I mean, really
Amen.
cover one another.
Amen. Very
Yes.
true.
So that we will not falter, we will not fail, and we will not suffer the attack of our enemy. But we cover each other. We become our brother's keeper here, and we continue to move forward. This is why God, before this came in, was teaching us on oneness. There's an anointing and a supply in you that I'm going to need. And there's an anointing and supply in me that you're going to need from me. And we've got to keep each other completely covered while we walk in this worship. And while we see, hallelujah, while we see, praise God, this total disconnect. Don't be afraid. I'm going to say that to you again. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of your enemy by night. Don't you be afraid. God is going to cover you. You just move into the dimension of worship and really take the time to feel, discern. Is there change going on in you because of it? Can you feel the disconnect that comes behind honoring God? Can you feel the axe at the root? And if you fall, get up and do it again. He told Cain, you can master this. So if you fail, get up and keep it moving. And for all of you that have not been giving tithes, all of you that have walked away from that understanding, God told me a long time ago, and I feel the liberty to say it today, there is no payback with God. It's honor him and keep it moving. Don't try to count what you didn't give. You start from where you are. And the blood of Jesus, that's what forgives us, not our giving. The blood that was shed, that's what redeems us.
Hallelujah, God.
But our giving is going to be an axe at Satan's root. And again, we're hearing because of what Jesus did for us. It all works together. Well, Father, I gave it the way you gave it to me. I spoke it the way you spoke to me. And by faith, I'm coming forward. By faith, we're coming forward. We're coming up after you, Master. We're a group that wants to be disconnected. We're a group that wants to be saved. We thank you for your blood, Master. We thank you for your lordship. We thank you for being our King, the God of our salvation.
Thank you,
Lord. Oh, we give you glory that you open the eyes of our understanding on how to worship you and how to honor you and how to love on you. And in loving on you, we get disconnected entirely from the root of evil.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're opening our eyes to regard you more, to acknowledge you more, to see you more. Our eyes are becoming single and our whole bodies are becoming full of light. And we give you praise, Master. I'm good with it. I'm good with you shutting out every other source. I'm good with it, Master. I thank you for the businesses and the ingenuity that you've given us. But the purpose behind that, Lord, yes, it is to be a blessing unto us without question. But it's also, Lord, in conjunction and in connection with you, that we might worship you and prove to the world that the kingdoms belong unto you.
Yes.
The banks may not tell us yes, and we don't need them to. We're living under your commonwealth, and you're ready to prove your might, your power. And so we are going to sing and praise your power. Hallelujah. We're going to experience your commonwealth and your kingdom like we never have.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's our time, Jesus. You're declaring that it is our time. And at the best of it all, we're believing unto salvation, the disconnect from this world and the spirit of it. That's salvation, Master. And only your blood, Jesus, will get us there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. You realize that the blood of Jesus has cleansed your conscience and subconscious through his word. It's been his blood preparing you. It's been his blood positioning you. Glory be to God. Don't neglect so great a salvation, people of God. Let's not neglect it at all. Don't take it for granted. Understand, man, that Jesus has given you the ability to hear his word. He is his word. Every word spoken is who he is. God with man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. We're going to honor him now in our